Monday, February 28th, 1944. My dearest Kitty, it's like a nightmare, one that goes on long after I'm awake. I see him nearly every hour of the day, and yet I can't be with him. I can't let the others notice, and I have to pretend to be cheerful, though my heart is aching. Peter Schiff and Peter Van Dan have melted into one Peter, who's good and kind, and whom I long for desperately. Mother's horrible. Father's nice, which makes him even more exasperating. And Margot's the worst, since she takes advantage of my smiling face to claim me for herself, when all I want is to be left alone. Peter didn't join me in the attic, but went up to the loft to do some carpentry work. At every rasp and bang, another chunk of my courage broke off, and I was even more unhappy. In the distance, a clock was tolling. Be pure in heart, be pure in mind. I'm sentimental, I know. I'm despondent and foolish, I know that too. Oh, help me. Yours, Anne M. Frank. Wednesday, March 1st, 1944. Dearest Kitty, my own affairs have been pushed to the background by a break-in. I'm boring you with all my break-ins, but what can I do when burglars take such pleasure in honoring geese and company with their presence? This incident is much more complicated than the last one, in July 1943. Last night at 7:30, Mr. Van Dan was heading, as usual, for Mr. Kugler's office, when he saw that both the glass door and the office door were open. He was surprised, but he went on through and was even more astonished to see that the alcove doors were open as well, and that there was a terrible mess in the front office. "There's been a burglary," flashed through his mind. But just to make sure, he went downstairs to the front door, checked the lock, and found everything closed. "Bep and Peter must just have been very careless this evening," Mr. Van D concluded. He remained for a while in Mr. Kugler's office, switched off the lamp, and went upstairs without worrying much about the open doors or the messy office. Early this morning, Peter knocked at our door to tell us that the front door was wide open and that the projector and Mr. Kugler's new briefcase had disappeared from the closet. Peter was instructed to lock the door. Mr. Van Dan told us his discoveries of the night before, and we were extremely worried. The only explanation is that the burglar must have had a duplicate key, since there were no signs of a forced entry. He must have sneaked in early in the evening, shut the door behind him, hidden himself when he heard Mr. Van Dan, fled with the loot after Mr. Van Dan went upstairs, and, in his hurry, not bothered to shut the door. Who could have our key? Why didn't the burglar go to the warehouse? Was it one of our own warehouse employees, and will he turn us in, now that he's heard Mr. Van Dan, and maybe even seen him? It's really scary, since we don't know whether the burglar will take it into his head to try and get in again. Or was he so startled when he heard someone else in the building that he'll stay away? Yours, Anne. P.S. We'd be delighted if you could hunt up a good detective for us. Obviously, there's one condition. He must be relied upon not to inform on people in hiding. Thursday, March 2nd, 1944. Dearest Kitty, Margot and I were in the attic together today. I can't enjoy being there with her the way I imagine it'd be with Peter, or someone else. I know she feels the same about most things as I do. While doing the dishes, Bep began talking to Mother and Mrs. Van Dan about how discouraged she gets. What help did those two offer her? Our tactless mother, especially, only made things go from bad to worse. Do you know what her advice was? That she should think about all the other people in the world who are suffering. How can thinking about the misery of others help if you're miserable yourself? I said as much. Their response, of course, was that I should stay out of conversations of this sort. The grown-ups are such idiots. As if Peter, Margot, Bep, and I didn't all have the same feelings. The only thing that helps is a mother's love, or that of a very, very close friend. But these two mothers don't understand the first thing about us. Perhaps Mrs. Van Dan does, a bit more than Mother. Oh, I wish I could have said something to poor Bep, something that I know from my own experience would have helped. But Father came between us, pushing me roughly aside. They're all so stupid. I also talked to Margot about Father and Mother, about how nice it could be here if they weren't so aggravating. We'd be able to organize evenings in which everyone could take turns discussing a given subject. But we've already been through all that. It's impossible for me to talk here. Mr. Van Dan goes on the offensive. Mother gets sarcastic and can't say anything in a normal voice. Father doesn't feel like taking part, nor does Mr. Dussel. And Mrs. Van D is attacked so often that she just sits there with a red face, hardly able to put up a fight anymore. And what about us? We aren't allowed to have an opinion. My, aren't they progressive? Not have an opinion. People can tell you to shut up, but they can't keep you from having an opinion. You can't forbid someone to have an opinion, no matter how young they are. The only thing that would help Bep, Margot, Peter, and me would be great love and devotion, which we don't get here. And no one, especially not the idiotic sages around here, is capable of understanding us, since we're more sensitive and much more advanced in our thinking than any of them ever suspect. Love. What is love? I don't think you can really put it into words. Love is understanding someone, caring for him, sharing his joys and sorrows. This eventually includes physical love. You've shared something, given something away, and received something in return, whether or not you're married, whether or not you have a baby. Losing your virtue doesn't matter, as long as you know that for as long as you live, you'll have someone at your side who understands you and who doesn't have to be shared with anyone else. Yours, Anne M. Frank.